Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner here today. That's probably headline number one. Tyler is back. We got Cole Manbeck on the show at 5:10. I'm going to defend my tweet coming up later on here in hour one at 4:40 as well. And of course, Mitch has his Jabroni of the Week at 5:50 on the show today. 537-1350 to call us. You can tweet your questions or comments throughout the show at the game KMAN. But you know what? Before we get rolling, like this just doesn't feel appropriate. The normal music. I need a little switch in the mood. There we go. There's that music you've been listening to for the last week. The Hawaiian stuff.
Very accurate, actually. That's about all they play there. They really do not get into doing anything else.
Like
it's just this.
Nothing else happens. It's just people waiting to put lays on you there and hulas dancing around to this.
Quite literally. Not many hulas, but a lot of guys standing with ukuleles just on the sidewalk doing basically what you see people doing with guitars in Aggieville or something like that.
So did you get the one snorkel of the year in?
I got a scuba. I got two dives in. They were both very good. Had a lot of fun. Let's see. Sea turtles, sharks. Caught an octopus with my bare hands. That was pretty fun. Getting home was a nightmare. Getting home was an absolute nightmare over the last 24 hours.
Mitch, are you going to be able to work your one scuba of the year in this year? Is that going to happen?
Oh, man. Might have to do it in, like, Tuttle Creek.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I feel like my scuba schedule's getting a little tight. If you want to take care of that, we could both go scuba in Tuttle Creek this summer or something to take care of that. I don't think I have it in the budget. You might did a better job saving money than me and Mitch this year. Tyler Dreiling, off to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Just messing with you.
Yeah, thanks.
Glad to have you back. Although it was a unique challenge to do shows solo for a week. But
so much positive stuff to talk about, right? All positive.
It was a hell of a week, buddy. Hell of a week, and that is where we start here, which is K-State basketball. I don't think the Hawaiian stuff fits anymore.
I'll listen to it.
It's not. It's not just a nice Hawaiian breeze in K-State basketball land right now, unfortunately. and that is why we're here talking about potentially the turning point of the season coming up on Wednesday, tomorrow. And I do truly, firmly believe that, and it has a lot to do with what happened last week. I don't think there's anything wrong in a vacuum, as I like to say, with losing to Baylor, a team that proved to be a better team, a more talented team. But when you lump that on top of losing at Tech and losing the way that you did, losing at Kansas the way that you did, but to a bigger extent losing to Maryland the way that you did earlier this year, and just the totality of all those, adding all those up, you've pigeonholed yourself now into a very pressure-packed situation where you're going to have to start getting wins and start getting wins quickly, because honestly, there's not much shame in losing at Texas Tech. West Virginia already did it. There's not shame in losing to Baylor. But you're playing a whole schedule full of games that are in the same category, more or less, as those games that you have left on your schedule. And you have not proven that you can beat anybody better than Green Bay or Omaha so far this year, because again, according to the metrics, those are the best teams that you've beaten in RPI. So the pressure is building and building, and I think you have been able to sense that in a lot of different ways. Not only the way the team is playing, acting, doesn't seem like there was quite as much energy, I thought, in the Baylor game for the most part. Maybe I'm reading too much into that, but I think from what you've heard from Bruce Weber, interrupting someone on the teleconference last week to point out how close they have been in those three games, similar to what we saw the last few years, except being jumpy enough to interject, I think you're seeing the pressure in some ways come out. And I understand why there is pressure, but there is no doubt pressure. And I think it gets ratcheted up even more when you go into Gallagher, Iowa tomorrow.
Well, you hit the nail on the head toward the ends there with the importance of this game at Oklahoma State, because how many games on the Big 12 schedule do you play on the road and feel like you have the better team on a neutral court? You're talking about Oklahoma State. You're talking about TCU. In this case, probably Texas and Oklahoma.
Boy,
but
those are
close.
Careful with TCU.
Yeah, yeah, pretty solid
careful
team.
Careful with TCU.
And I probably wouldn't lump Texas Tech into that category at this point.
I'd say careful with Oklahoma State, too. I think K-State, if you examine Oklahoma State's schedule, I think the biggest difference right now in 2-3 and 0-5 is the schedule.
Well, I mean, I guess look at it this way. Oklahoma State is the 3-point favorite for tomorrow's game. That would kind of imply that they are equal on a neutral court, I suppose, if you want to take it that way. But it is a very important game. And K-State, regardless of what you want to talk about in terms of how they've gotten to this point, and I know that officiating has been discussed at length, and K-State has some arguments there, but as you mentioned, you get to a point where the losses have just mounted up so much that you can't look at officiating for everything. You have got to find a way to win and move forward, and that's the point that K-State's at tomorrow night.
Totally agree, and it seems like most people are in agreement with that as well. Now, taking a Twitter sample is not the greatest in the world in terms of an overall sampling of the fan base. I actually just saw yesterday someone point out that like 26% of Americans are on Twitter. So you're missing a large portion of the population. And I think especially with like a college fan base, there's going to be a lot of older fans that are not on Twitter. So certainly this is not, don't take this as a be-all end-all. But yesterday put out the tweet, the poll on Twitter, do you think K-State's going to the tournament right now? 60-40, people said no, and that was with over 500 responses. So there are a lot of people that are already leaning no. You're going to play a team in Oklahoma State who's winless in the league, and you are the underdog. You've won four Big 12 road games in the last three-plus years. I agree with K-State being the underdog going into that game. And I was trying to walk you down this line a little bit earlier, but I mean, right now it's hard to project K-State to win that game against Oklahoma State. And if they do lose that game, we're already sitting here with most of the public opinion sliding towards, okay, this team is probably not going to make the tournament. You lose that game tomorrow, it's not going to be 60-40. It's going to be 70-30.
Or worse.
Or worse. So we are at a crucial, crucial moment here, just six games into Big 12 play. And how far away does that Kansas game feel? The good vibes. And I remember saying it at the time. This is great. The season needed this energy, this life, but you got to do something with it. And to this point, they have not done anything with it. And now the season feels like it's in some trouble.
The problem is, if K-State were playing a winless team on the road tomorrow and that team was a TCU or a Texas Tech or even a Texas or Oklahoma, I would feel pretty good about K-State's chances. But there's always been something about Gallagher-Iba Arena. K-State has not played well there over the course of time, and I recall last year when they were in a similar position, it was later in the year, but you still felt like going in that that was one of K-State's last stands, that if they did want to rattle off a nice win streak and get into the postseason, it needed to start with a win in Stillwater. K-State did not play well in that game at all in a virtually empty arena and lost in overtime. And you're going against a coach that has been in the news in Manhattan an awful lot, with a lot of fans wishing that he was the coach here. In addition to that, I don't know if this adds anything to you, but I did see that it's the 1,000th game all time in Gallagher-Iba Arena, and their record there is like 720 and 260, something like that. They are a very good team in Gallagher-Iba Arena. The history is against you. K-State needs to come out and play like its season is on the line, because it's still January, but it's starting to feel more and more like that's the reality.
Well, the part about Brad Underwood is a whole other aspect to this. I mean, that adds another layer to public pressure that could come if you lose that game, because it would then be, on the surface with everything we just talked about, pretty apparent that you're not on an NCAA tournament track. Then you would have just lost your first game to Brad Underwood, where you're facing him. Rightly or wrongly, a lot of people will take that and then ratchet up their pressure. Their anger is going to come out more. Their frustration is going to come out more. And it's going to create, I think, a little bit more outside pressure. You could argue with me on how much that actually matters, but I do think there is a little bit of something to that. And that's part of what makes tomorrow so big and tomorrow so dangerous. Now, at the same time, remember the football season. I mean, we sat here like every week. There was so much drama. There's so much going on here. And you know, Stanton Weber had to talk me off a ledge at one point in time, saying, like, you said that about last season too, and we didn't feel like that at all inside. So maybe inside it is different. But from the outside, that's how I'm perceiving it. And there are, to me, some signals, like the teleconference, where it's coming from within as well, that they feel the pressure and they know exactly what's going on here. The blessing and the curse of the Big 12 is that right now, If you look at KenPom, Ken Pomeroy, one of the best college basketball sites around there right now, they project K-State to finish 19-12, 8-10 in the league. So all you'd have to do is change your KenPom projection by two games, and you'd feel great about being in the NCAA tournament. But here's the downside to that. They also predict K-State to lose the next four games and seven of the next eight. And that's life in the Big 12. A lot of those close games, but K-State hasn't given you much faith that they're going to pull out close games here this year or last year. So if it gets to that point where you do lose four straight, I think they're viewing a lot of those games in a vacuum like I would and saying, hey, this team against this team, you'd win. But if you lose four games, the pressure, the fan support, so much of that is going to change that I don't think there's a possibility of that happening. So you have to go do it and do it right now.
Right, because computers can't measure emotions, right? You know, the computers are not going to look at it and say, well, K-State's coming off a four-game losing streak and probably will be embracing the reality that they won't make the NCAA tournament, that there's a chance that a coaching change is on the horizon. The players might start to be thinking about their futures and maybe if they're going to continue to play at K-State, all those other things. The computer doesn't care about that. It just looks at K-State, its offensive statistics, defensive statistics, and the opponent's offensive and defensive statistics. So that's why all 8-10s are not created equal, or 9-9s, or 10-8s, or whatever you want to look at. K-State's going to need to win this game in Stillwater to keep that alive, I think.
Now, there's another part of all that in the Big 12 schedule, and it does lend itself towards a lot of opportunities, and that's what we're going to discuss coming up next. It seems like things are pretty dire right now, but this could turn around in a real hurry, and we'll explain that here on the game.